area of life you're thinking about, you know his plan. We can't say that we don't know. We don't know some particulars. There are some certain things that we don't know how it's exactly going to work out, the details. But the overall plan, we know. We know. We can't say we don't know. And if we truly don't know, it's our fault for not knowing it, because we in Canada and in the West, we have been privileged with having the Word of God in our own language for hundreds of years. You know, for as long as Canada has been a nation, okay, over 150 years now, we've had the Word of God in our own language. And before that, when it was just a part of the Confederation, when it was just part of like the British Empire and that, we had the Word of God in our own language. And for those of us who grew up with learning other languages, I don't know how long, I kind of do know how long the Bible has been in the German language. Equally long time. We know. We know. Okay, can you put it back up there? Thanks. Could you just slide the thing that way a little bit? Thank you very much. So when my fears like Jericho build their walls around my soul, when my heart is overthrown, your love is my battle cry, the anthem for all my life. Again, as we seek to walk out what God has for us, as we seek to become who he's called us to be, like Lily was sharing before, there is going to be pushback. Like John was sharing, it might seem counterintuitive, but it's not counter-Bible, that's for sure. The Bible makes it clear. The enemy is going to put up a fight, okay? And so there is going to be pain, like the first verse said. There is going to be sorrow. There is going to be pushback. All of that, absolutely. But again, he has shown us the promised land. The kingdom of heaven is within us. He lives within us. And he wants us to start the joys of heaven here on earth. And yes, one day, like it says, our prayer in the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Really, that's an exegetical prayer. We are looking forward to the coming kingdom where the new Jerusalem comes to earth. So in the sense we pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, may I live that out. But the true fulfillment is when he comes again. But here's the thing. It starts right now because he is the kingdom. Like, he is the greatest part of the kingdom. He makes the kingdom the kingdom. He is what makes heaven heaven. And he lives within us. I've given you the land, now go take possession of it. Oh, but Lord, the new Jerusalem hasn't come yet. No, go take possession of it. Oh, Lord, but I don't see you face to face. It's not time for tabernacles to be fulfilled yet. No, but it is for you. It is time for tabernacles to be fulfilled for you. As much as you're willing. I remember one time we asked Randy Friesen, who's part of MB Mission, someone asked him, I don't know if it was one of us or one of our team members. Was it you? How much does God want, I forget how you phrased it, but how much does God want to share his will, or how much of God's will can we know, or how much can leadership in our lives does God want to give, something like that. Like, how much does he want to speak? Sorry?
How specific?
Well,
God answers.
Okay, how specific? How specific does God want to get with us? And his answer was, as much as we want him to. How specific do you want God to be in your life? How much of his kingdom do you want? Well, how much can I have? As much as you want. How far can I go? As far as you want to go. Because he's paid the whole price for the whole way. He's done it all already. I've given you the land. Now go take possession of it. Okay, chorus. We're going to get to the chorus now. Every giant will fall and the mountains will move. Every chain of the past you've broken into. I love that it's phrased that way. Not you will break into. And this is biblical. You might think, oh, this is just poetic license of some person who wrote a song. No, this is biblical. He has broken the chains. The chains are broken. They are loosened. Again, I have given you possession of the land already. Now go take it. I've given you the land. Now go take possession of it. Over fear, over lies, we're singing the truth. Nothing is impossible. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't know. I don't care what you're struggling with. It's possible. It's possible in Him. Okay? Every giant that we face, every giant that we have in our life. And so I love, you know, when Candace talks about this jealousy that you feel on you. It's a giant. It's a giant that wants to rob you. It wants to see no joy from you. He actually wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your contentment because he knows that Jesus won your contentment for you. He knows the power of the cross. The enemy knows everything that the cross accomplished. He didn't know it beforehand, otherwise he wouldn't have tried to crucify the Lord. Right? But he knows now. He knows that your contentment was won. Your joy was won. Your thankfulness was won on that day. He's trying to rob you. If we could understand all those things, if we could, every giant, everything that we're battling, if we could understand it's the enemy and the flesh trying to rob us of what God has won for us, well, that giant's going to fall. Guaranteed. I can guarantee it. And not because my guarantee is worthy, but because God guarantees it. You keep on fighting against jealousy. You keep fighting it. You keep taking it to the Lord in prayer. You keep laying it at the cross. You keep choosing thankfulness, choosing contentment, rather than looking at what other people have and people with bigger houses. I don't know where the jealousy surrounds or anything, but whether it's houses or finances or whether it's gifts and talents or family or whatever, I don't know. But you just keep on saying, you keep on taking your thankfulness to God, choosing thankfulness, that giant will fall. He will fall. I've shared many times before already where with me, a giant fell about a decade now ago. The giant of a lack of peace, lack of contentment. And once that giant fell, the Lord, the heavenly kingdom just of peace just started flooding my soul. Where now for the last decade about, I've walked in peace. And I just kept taking it to the Lord, taking it to the Lord, taking it to the Lord. I wrote down, I've shared before about how I still am dealing out insecurity. It's really neat. Over the last, I'd say, month or two, I can see the giant starting to fall. It's really interesting. It totally reminds me of the journey with peace. Like I've shared before where I shared with Randy Friesen, God is bringing peace into my life. He goes, yes, he is, but you're not there yet. And I'm like, I know, but I can see it starting to tumble. You know, I can see the walls starting to crumble down. I see the same thing happening with insecurity. It's really neat. It's like I, don't take this the wrong way, but it's like I'm having an out-of-body experience a little bit, watching myself, watching my own life, and watching insecurity fall. Now, I've got to choose well, and I don't always choose well. I start to put bricks back that have already fallen. It's like, oh, why are you doing that? But it will fall. If I continue in the Lord, if I continue to say yes to Him, if I continue to confess, and if I will, I can accelerate it too if I choose even better, because I know sometimes I don't. Sometimes I yield to the insecurity. These giants will fall. If I keep on choosing to just lay it at His feet. One of the passages that I had prepared beforehand where I was going to speak on is in Luke 10 where Martha, you know, is thinking, I don't prepare sermons this way where, oh, it's Mother's Day, I have to prepare a Mother's Day sermon. But just what God was sharing and ministering really fit in there with the choices that Mary made and with what Jesus said to Martha. And, you know, and the food, Martha's preparing the food, and Mary is just choosing to sit at Jesus' feet and just choosing that place of presence. And he says to Martha, you're just worried about so many things. You got so many things on the go up here. And it's not that those things aren't true. Food needs to be prepared and things need to be done. But Jesus is saying, but your sister, she's chosen what is better, and I'm not going to take it from her. I can create food out of nothing. And I'm not sure what kind of struggle Mary had to go through in order to sit at Jesus' feet. Things that she needed to deal with. And even in that day and age, women sitting at the feet of a rabbi just was a no-no. That did not go over well in their society. And yet Jesus commends it. Way to overcome your fears. Knowing the disciples, remember the disciple, it doesn't mention the disciples in this case, and so forgive me if I'm projecting onto them, but remember when the children were brought to Jesus, they wanted to shoo the children away, they wanted to shoo the parents with the children away, go away. When the Samaritan woman, you know, go away. When the Phoenician woman, you know, coming with a request for her daughter who's demon-possessed, go away, or their son who's demon-possessed, go away. So I imagine that Mary was getting a few hairy eyeballs from the disciples. What are you doing here? This is only for disciples. You're a woman. You should be in the kitchen. You should be making us food for when we take a break. What's going on? And she just pushes all that aside, pushes all the stigma aside, pushes all the cultural stuff aside, the cultural stuff that is against God, push it aside, and I'm going to sit at his feet. That's where I'm going to be. And the chains fall off. The giants fall. And she opens up her sails to the Lord, and he fills those sails. I'm going to do whatever it takes to sit at your feet. I want to encourage you, go in. Look at the promised land. Look at what he has promised you. Whatever situation of life you're thinking about right now. Okay, job-wise, you know, you're thinking about your career. You know, you've got some young people here who are thinking about what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. For many of us, we already know what we are. We are in the rest of our lives area. You know, I know, unless the Lord changes what he has said to me, I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, you know. But some of you are thinking, what am I going to do? What's life going to look like? You know what? Sit at his feet. Sit at his feet. Lay your life down before him. And he will show you. He'll probably take you to places you never thought you'd go. But he will show you. He will open up his way to you. He wants to just pour into you. Go in. Take that land. But the way we go in is not, I'm going to go for that job interview. I'm going to, you know, chase these dreams of mine. No, chase him. Chase him. Yield up any desire for financial gain. Where like trying to get rich in that. Yield that up. If you struggle with that, yield that up. That's just going to keep you from the kingdom of God, wanting to get rich. It's just going to keep you from the kingdom of God. Or having a title above your name. I don't know if any of you desire that, you know? Having a title, having a corner office with glass on a 20-story building where you can overlook whatever city you know, maybe you have a dream of moving to Toronto to one of those 50-story skyscrapers. I know I wouldn't want to move there, but some people have that dream, you know, a corner office. Get rid of that. I'm not saying that Spirit-filled believers can't have a position like that, but you can't have the ambition for a position like that.
You yield it to God and you chase Him. You obey Him. You humble yourself. You become the employee that you're called to be. Or maybe you're an employer. You be the employer that you're called to be. You yield yourself to Him. But go in, take the land. Maybe it's in the area of family. Become the husband that you're meant to be. Become the wife that you're meant to be. Choose. The chains have already been broken. Choose. I've given you the land. Now go take possession of it. Open up your sails to me. I will push you there. Like, not against your will, though, but I will fill your sails and take you there. If you just open up your life to me, if you sit at my feet and allow me to pour in, I will change you and change you and change you. I will show you the way. I'll give you everything you need to become the husband that you're meant to become the bride that you're meant to become the father that you're meant to become the son that you're meant to be, the mother that you're meant to be, the daughter that you're meant to be, the employer, the employee, the friend that you're meant to be, the neighbor that you're meant to be, the giver that you're meant to be. I will change you. I've already given you everything. The whole kingdom is yours. Oh, but Lord, there's still giants. Don't you understand that I've given them into your hands already? We need to be... It's interesting. With regards to the enemy and the enemy's work, again, like so many things, there's two ditches. One ditch is we're afraid of everything that has to do with the enemy. We're scared at the mention of his name. I never want to see the devil. I never want to deal with him. He's scary. He's got horns. You know? The other side is we take him too lightly. He's nothing. I'm going to stomp on his head. He ain't nothing. He's under my foot. And we mock him. Those are the two ditches. The place of health is understanding I'm a child of God and I have the authority of Jesus Christ. But I will not deal with the enemy lightly. I understand he is formidable, but he is nothing compared to the Spirit of God who lives in me. There is no comparison. And so I will confront the enemy. And he will surrender. He will submit. I've had that with demons before where I've confronted demonic in a counseling session and that, and like, you will listen to me. In the name of Jesus, you are going to listen. Not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is, because of everything that he's won for me. I look at my life, and sometimes I do this really well, and sometimes I don't. And I've got to start doing better more often, because I want to be the pastor I'm meant to be, as well as the husband I'm meant to be, as well as the dad I'm meant to be. Even as my children are getting ready to leave the home, I still want to be, for the rest of my life, I want to be the dad that I'm meant to be. And I need to choose well. I need to choose well. And there's times when I do, and there's times when I don't. I want to sit at his feet and let him change me. I want to yield to him. I want to take everything to him. I don't want to stop. I don't know about you, but God gives me glimpses of what I am called to be in him. More and more, he gives me glimpses. He shows me what he knit me together in my mother's womb to be. And again, Sometimes we can fall into the ditch of, oh, I'm so far from that. I really encourage you, don't fall into that ditch. Self-pity and pity party just has no health to it. There's no life in it. But don't fall into the other ditch thinking, I've got everything together, I'm fine. That's another ditch. Oh, Lord, show me. And I more and more say to myself, not to myself, because I don't want it to be this self-help thing. There's that going on in the world. And it's just like, no, that humanistic way of thinking, no, it's him in me. But I will become who God has meant me to be. By God's grace, and by his power, by his continual work in me, I will become the husband that I'm meant to be. I'm closer than I've ever been, but I've still got a ways to go. And I don't want to stop. I want to become the pastor I'm meant to be. I'm not the pastor I'm meant to be yet. I'm closer than I've ever been, but I don't want to stop. I want to become more and more the leader I'm called to be and the teacher that I'm called to be, the shepherd that I'm called to be. And it happens by continually taking things to the Lord, waiting on him, entering into his presence, seeking his face. You look at the Israelites entering into the promised land. When they sought God's face, when they brought themselves before the Lord, when Joshua entered the tent of meeting and just kept on saying, Lord, what do you have for us in all this? Moses, different people throughout their history, they did well. And then they would yield to the Lord. But when they didn't do well is when they did it just on their own and they assumed things. I want to sit at his feet as much as possible and take everything in. Just take it in. Soak it in. Lord, show me. Talk to me about anything you want. And I will say yes to you. Show me what's resting on my head, Lord God. Show me what's resting on my shoulders. Show me what's going on in my mind. I want to yield these things to you. I'm not thinking like you think. Show me why. I want to be set free from this. I'm not loving like I should love. I want to love better. Don't be afraid. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Today. And you're not just fighting for yourself. If this adds extra motivation, although we shouldn't need extra motivation, but God uses it, so I think it's okay. You're fighting for those around you. You're fighting for your sons and daughters. And for those of us who have, my sons are still in the home, but for those of you who have sons and daughters who are no longer in the home, you're still fighting for them. And you're fighting for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Henry, God isn't done with you yet. And I know you know that. I love that about you. See, I'm going to brag on Henry here a little bit. What I love about, you know, those in your room, your dad, your grandpa, your great-grandpa, even though she's not listening right now, you know, that's okay. What I love is Henry wants to continue to grow closer to God. He wants to continually yield his life and say, God, this is yours. I want to keep changing more and more into your image. I want to be the grandparent that I meant to be, the great-grandparent, the dad that I meant to be, the friend that I meant to be, the part of the body of Christ that I meant to be. May we all be like that more and more. Don't delay. And don't let anything hold you back. Again, I look at Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. She didn't let anything hold her back. She didn't let family hold her back. Her sister Martha accusing, looking down on her, even trying to get her in trouble with Jesus. didn't let the disciples hold her back, the men. And again, I'm projecting that a little bit, but I think I see that attitude there in Scripture before the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. I see that. She didn't let that stop her. I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Christ. He has so much for us. I shared a few weeks ago about seeking his presence. That is such a key. It's interesting. I was thinking about it as I was processing this earlier. I was thinking back, again, I've shared before, where Carlene and I had struggles a little bit over a decade now ago. Man, that's a long time ago. As I was praying for Carlene during that time, and here's the thing, I've shared this before too, where the thing is, as we were struggling, we continued to seek to walk out God's ways. So we would repent to each other. We would confess to each other. We would try for each other. I would try to be the husband. I would try to hold my tongue. Didn't work 90% of the time, but I would try. She would try for me. We would pray together. We would seek the Lord together. And yet we continued to fail and fail and hurt each other and wonder what's going on and all of this. But we were continually drawing close to God. We were continually just laying it at his feet, all of our struggles. Okay? We did not ignore our struggles. We didn't justify them. Maybe there would be moments of justification. Like I would say, what's wrong with her? And she would say, what's wrong with him? You know, and we would justify ourselves and all that at times, but then we would confess that as well. But one of my prayers for Carlene, you see, so I had my struggles and stuff that I needed prayer for. But one of the themes of our struggle was passion, right? You know, and she didn't have passion for me. That, like, faithfulness, yes, but that passionate, oh, I love you, Kevin, kind of thing. But I realized too, this was just one of her giants. That's not one of my giants. I don't know if you know that about me. It's not one of my giants. I got my giants that I have to battle. That was one of her giants. But I prayed. My prayer for her was, Lord, but passion for you first. For you first. And God answered that prayer because she was faithful to the Lord, and now she's passionate for the Lord. The neat thing about it is it spilled over to me too, where that passion started coming for me. Woohoo! You know, I was healing. That's my prayer for all of you. I know some of your stuff. You have honored Carlene and I by sharing your lives with us and trusting us with stuff that you struggle with. And I really appreciate that, and that is an honor. I am amazed by that. But a key to it all is a passion for him first. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's stuff in your marriage or in raising your children or place of employment or finances or whatever. The foundation is passion for him. And I don't just mean an emotional passion and excitement. I mean this chasing after God, like we've been talking about the last few weeks, seek his face. And as we walk that out, then he will begin to speak to us about specifics in our lives, specific things, but it's always from that place of presence and passion for Him, and then walking it out. As you are walking out that passion for God, then when He says over here, you know what? I want to talk to you about jealousy. It's like, yes, Lord, because I want to draw closer to you, and I know you're bringing this up so that I can be set free and I can just draw closer to you. So, yes, Lord, talk to me about jealousy. Amen. Because I have a passion for you, Lord. I want you more. Or he starts talking to you about your marriage, and he said, I want you to become the husband that you're meant to be. I want to talk to you. And you say, yes, Lord, I want that too, because I know you have good things for me, and I know you have good plans for me. So talk to me about it, Lord. Talk to me. Lay it on me. Judge me, Lord. Open. My life is open to you. Or I want to talk to you about being a better wife and the wife that you're meant to be, or the father that you're meant to be, or the mother that you're meant to be. I want to talk to you about how you raise your children. I want to talk to you about your finances. I want to talk to you about how you treat your neighbor, or how you treat your boss, or how you treat your employee or employer. I want to talk to you about how you treat your customers or different things. And you're like, yes, Lord, talk to me about these things. Because I so love you, and the more I draw close to you, the more I see how good you are, and you are full of life because you are life. So yeah, talk to me about these specific things. I give them over to you. I yield. I just sit at your feet. Lay it on me. Lay it on me. Come on, just talk to me about these things. And you sit at his feet. You just stare into his face, and you receive. You want to receive anything that he has to say. Now, some things that he might say is like, ooh, that's going to be difficult, Lord. Yeah, I know. But I can do it in you. I know you can, Lord. I know you can. But Lord, that's a little bit against my character. I know I didn't give as much of that portion to you. I think about, again, passion. I think he gave me 100 portions of passion when I was knit together in my mother's womb, you know? Or you look at it as someone who's cooking a little bit. Oh, we'll add a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And for me, he just poured in extra much of passion. Just, I don't know if the lid fell off or what. You know how you've done that sometimes? The lid pops off and the whole thing pops. I don't know. But there's other things, again, that I need to work on. I know with Carlene, it was just sprinkles in that. Understand, we've said our lives will be an open book. I'm not putting that down because, I could talk to you about the things that God has poured into my life. I mean, my wife's life from young and from when she was knit together in her mother's womb. I could talk to you about faithfulness. I could talk to you about hard work, work ethic, and just sacrifice, a sacrificial heart, all these things. I don't have to seek the Lord in passion, that's for sure. I do have to seek Him in sacrifice. I've had to seek the Lord in that, and I still have to. But I find that as I seek His face and I sit at His feet, I say to Him, lay it on me, God. Talk to me again. Talk to me again about sacrifice. Talk to me again about laying down my life. I need you to talk to me again about that because I'm forgetting. I'm forgetting, Lord. I need to remember. I need to be set free. This giant is starting to rise up again. I need it to fall again, Lord. Talk to me about it. Would you just lay it on me? See, and if we come to this place of where we're not afraid of God speaking to us about those areas that we need to be spoken to about, if we bring everything to the light and we open up our lives to Him, we open up our sails to Him, He will move us. That's my prayer for you. Again, you've opened up your lives to me, many of you. You've opened up your lives to us, many of you have. And sometimes I have to admit, I've held back from speaking what I feel like a pastor should speak on an individual basis sometimes. And some of that's fear. See, one of the problems with pastors is we often deal with fear of man. And I think some of it, you know, a pastor's heart is kind of sometimes like a mom's heart. Nothing against you moms, but often moms are a little bit more, oh, come on, they don't need to be corrected. They don't need that spanking. They're fine. Look, they're sorry. Isn't that enough? Come on. The dad's more like, you know what? This needs to happen. Pastors sometimes, although it didn't come out in my fathering necessarily, but pastors sometimes, it's sometimes from that place of, oh, I don't wanna hurt them either. So sometimes it's fear mixed with the other as well. Pastors kind of have a mother's heart a little bit. But that's where I need to learn to pastor better, because sometimes my fear and my compassion have gotten in the way of what God wants to do. So, I want to encourage you. In those areas that you've brought to Carlene and I, and in those areas that you haven't yet brought to Carlene and I, whatever it is, chase after God. Open up your life to Him and say, lay it on me, Lord. Lay it on me. Speak to me again. Speak to me again about it. 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 Speak to me again. Because eventually what you'll notice, and again, I'm really excited about this whole insecurity thing. Eventually what you'll notice is, I think that giant is starting to topple. Oh my goodness. That giant has been with me so long. And I see it starting to fall. And I'm having deja vu. Because it's like, I'm not sure what life is going to look like after. And yet I kind of do know, but it'll be weird. Same what God wants to do in your life. Okay. Are there any questions or comments? I've kind of been vague a little bit, trying to let you hone in yourself on what specifics. Am I making sense here? I'm getting like, I think I'm reading that it makes sense and you're just processing. All right. Okay. Kelsey's not getting it. Okay, so let me use Kelsey as an example. No, just kidding.
I just had one question.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about insecurity starting to topple
yeah.
in your life. So I was just wondering how come it's not more immediate? Like if you know it's yeah. there, how is there, like, why is there a journey and how does God do that over a period?
It is such a great question. I don't fully have the answer to that, except, again, I would... I know that the Israelites, we've talked about this before, where the Israelites are a great example to us as to what our lives will look like and how we walk this out. I'm thinking specifically, I thought I just read it, but maybe it's coming up yet. I'm in Deuteronomy right now. I just finished Numbers. But in either Numbers or Deuteronomy, God talks about he's not going to rid the land of the enemy all at once. because then wild beasts would overtake it. Now, I don't know what application that has to our lives. And it is history. I'm not saying that Israel's history is just metaphor. It is history, but we see in the New Testament that it's also metaphor. Like Paul uses it that way as well. I don't know what that would apply to in our lives, but I also know part of the answer has to do with the amount of respect he has for our choices. And we chose to build some of these walls up. It takes time to take them down. That's part of the answer. Final part of the answer would be this. We are often so key on the destination. God is so much more interested in the journey. And I don't mean to sound cliche there, but there is beauty in the process. There is beauty in the daily choice and the daily struggle, because that choice is done by faith and by trust. And faith and trust means so much to God. And one day we will be fully set free. Like, so one day, but it's this place of bringing joy to the Lord by choosing him daily. You know, we could easily ask, for instance, when the Israelites were going through the desert, why didn't he give them enough manna on the first day of the week for the whole week? Or the first day of the month for the whole month? Or the first day of the year for the whole year? You know, and yet they had to go out daily to gather, except for one day where there was 2 days provided, you know. And it's just this daily thing, coming to him daily. There is something about the process. But I don't have, like, that's just a partial answer, and I recognize that, unfortunately, I don't have the rest of the answer yet. But if you find it in Numbers and Deuteronomy, where it talks about...
It's Deuteronomy 7:22.
Okay, Deuteronomy 7:22. Oh, I'm coming to... I did see it. I don't see it anymore. No, I actually have that underlying right in front of me here. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or else the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. Yeah, the internet can't hear you, so yeah.
Is it possible then, so with these wild beasts or whatever, so like just with our kids at the stage they're at, like Quinn wants us to do everything for him.
Yeah.
Everything. But if, and like part of me really wants to, because, well, I like helping him, right? But then if he doesn't go through the process of learning to butter his toast or whatever, right? Like, then other things start to creep in,
totally.
Like entitlement. Or so then you have these other problems versus this one problem of not being able to overcome something, right? That's just
totally
what came to me.
This is, and there's another scripture. If someone could, like Carla, maybe you could Google this or whatever too, but there's a scripture that talks about, I'm going to teach you how to be warriors. Basically, I'm going to teach you how to fight. That's why I'm not going to get rid of the enemy as well, because I'm going to teach you how to fight. And it talked about that whole generation not knowing how to fight. And it is because, yeah, this God wants us to be a part of it. He doesn't just want to do it. He wants us to be participants in what he is doing. And so that's where, yeah, sometimes, like parenting, this will be part of the parenting seminar, by the way. You know, it is this place of you need to allow your children to fail. You need to allow your children to go through things. You need to say no. Your child needs to hear no. They need to understand they're not the center of the universe. Okay? They need to. And all these things. Why? Because you're building up that character. They need to work through it and fight through it. They need to fight through disappointment. They need to fight through not liking you very much. You know, and we, you know, again, I'm going into my parenting seminar here a little. We as parents, we need to be big enough to let them not like us for a while, and we need to be secure in who we are for them, and God is. See, when we were like, God, why aren't you saving me? And this is what happens when we sometimes go through tough stuff. We start accusing God, right? You don't love me. Where are you? We just had this on Facebook with Freedom Ministries, where someone who... I don't know, they're not associated with Freedom Ministries, but they're friends of people of Freedom Ministries. This last time when Darla got sick, I don't understand why God would allow this, and can someone please explain to me? I'm about to give up on God. I don't think he's fair. I don't think he's this. I don't think he's that. And it's like God sitting there saying, I'll let you go through that so you can work through it and understand me better, because he wants us to be strong in him. He does not want to, he does not want to carry us everywhere. He wants to walk with us. He's made us to strengthen our legs and strengthen our back, not to go out on our own, but so that we can walk with him. Last thing, and then I'll let you, one of my favorite stages of parenting, but it's also one of my saddest stages of parenting, is right now. It's my favorite because I've got adult children now. I don't have to carry them. I don't just mean physically, you know, but I love that I can talk with them face to face, eye to eye, man to man. And where they have ideas and they have worldviews and we can talk stuff. And it's just so good. I'm still their dad, but it's so good. And it's sad. It's the saddest stage because we're going to be empty nesters in about 2 months or, you know, and they move on. And, like, hopefully they'll write, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, but it's both my favorite stage. Like, and so as much as the babies are cute in that, I love that they've grown up. They can stand on their own 2 feet. These two have done something that Carlene and I have never done. They bought a house, you know, and it's just, it fills me with such joy to walk with them and not carry, not that we didn't mind carrying them when they needed to be carried. And that's the wisdom, right? But it just gives such joy. So too, that warrior. Oh, okay, one more, sorry. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. There's been a few prayer times in Niagara on the Lake where Josh wasn't able to make it because the birth of Jeremiah and such, and so it was just me and the guys, and sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes all three, and then, you know, the four of us. And there was this one time in particular where it really hit me. Like, it really hit me hard in a beautiful, awesome, wonderful way, where the joy of interceding and prayer warrior, like we were warring in prayer. And I forget what it had to do with the specific theme of prayer that God was taking us through for Niagara that evening. But it was just like, the fight is on. And I'm looking beside me and I'm seeing my sons. I don't have to carry them. They're wielding their own swords, and they're just hacking away at the enemy and bringing blessing down from heaven and calling things down. And it's just like, this is awesome. Everything was worth it, right? You know, kind of thing. And it's just like, oh, God, praise you. That's a really... I don't know if long or short, but answer to the question, though. Yeah.
Just a couple of things. First of all, the empty nest, it's great. And secondly...
Do you need counsel there,
And
Craig?
Secondly, they never actually really leave, so...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But just to the previous question, I was sort of reminded of, like, the worldly... saying, I guess, is give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, feed a man a fish, or teach a man how to fish and he'll we won't go hungry. And so I look at it more as a discipline, like how God walks us through. There is times where he will do the miracle, just boom.
Absolutely.
And it's a great thing to experience or to walk through. But I think he wants us to learn how to walk these things through so that that discipline is there and that solid foundation is there where as you know, as a, we're not looking for him to do that miracle every time because he wants to teach us how to walk these things through and grow in maturity.
Right. And where the miracle is done inside of us. Because understand too, like I get this, like tabernacles, when he comes to tabernacle with us one day, it'll be back to the garden. And what did God do with Adam and Eve in the garden? He walked with them in the cool of the day. Again, God is not looking for us to be little babies who need to be fed and breastfed the rest of eternity. He's that's not what he's looking for. He has created us to have fellowship with us. True, if you will, adult fellowship with him. Now he'll always be like I'll always be their dad, but I'm not like way high, like you know, way up there. God will always be way up. But this is part of the miracle and the audacity of it all, the beauty of it all, the humility of God and the loveliness of God is he wants to walk with us. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to like share, I guess, a personal story just exactly about what you were just saying. So a couple years ago, I really kind of came face to face with the fact that I was just really struggling with a lot of anxiety. And I was told so many times by people that if I just prayed hard enough that God would just take it away, like that. And that's really hard to hear when you don't feel like that's what God's calling you to do. And it took me a while, but I had to realize that, like, and I felt like God was just telling me, no, I care, like, I could take it away, but I care about you so much that I want to walk through this with you.
Right.
Because when you think of a deep and meaningful relationship, it's not a relationship where they come in and just try to fix you. It's a relationship where they walk through hard things with you and grow with you in that relationship. And
totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100% correct. So God has provided everything we need. So again, you go back to what we were talking about in the sermon, like the areas that he wants to talk to you about. Lay it on me. He's not going to go, bring, and you're fixed. He's going to show you the way, and he's going to say, I'm going to be with you every step of the way, providing all the strength that you need, all the power, because you're right, the only way this is overcome is with the power of heaven. And I will pour that power into you, but you have to walk it out. And I will walk with you, but you have to walk it out. You have to choose it. And I think one last thing is we experience him in that then. It's the difference between hearing about God or knowing about him and knowing him. Again, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. The whole idea of disciples sitting at the feet of a rabbi, and this was just in their culture, not just with Jesus, but in their culture, is that the disciples would eventually go out and do what they saw the rabbi doing and speak what they saw the rabbi speaking. The whole idea was not just to sit there and then be able to regurgitate what they heard. See, that's part of the West. That's become our education system. Well, I read somewhere that this is this. And so I'm an expert now because I've got a BA, I've got an MA, I got a PhD. I'm a professional in parenting. Have you ever parented? No, but I'm a professional. See my documentation? I'm a professional marriage counselor, even though I've never been married. It's ridiculous. That's not the rabbi discipleship way of things. The whole reason was, sit at my feet, I will teach you, I will pour into you, I will walk with you, and then I will send you out. with the calling, okay, Matthew 28, make disciples. Now you go and make disciples. I've discipled you, now you go and make disciples. So yeah, it's so powerful because that's where we know him then as we walk it out. Any other questions or comments?
I guess also, like with the whole discipleship then, like so for me, like probably ever since parenting, the whole like my dealing with anger, for instance. Mm-hmm. So if I hadn't had to go through that process, so that's one of those giants that has like, I mean, like I feel like I'm just so close to it just being completely gone, which is so awesome. But then I wouldn't have that compassion for others who totally. Are going through that, other moms, right? Who are, oh, like I totally get how you feel. This is how I was able to overcome it, right?
Yeah.
So then there's just that lack of, being able to walk with others who are going through those struggles.
Totally. So good. Anyone else?
Yeah, and not just unable to, but you have an authority to speak into their lives. Mm-hmm. Mentioning last week, I listened to a testimony of someone who had clinical depression, and she was able to walk through that and find victory in that not having, I mean, yeah, she has the diagnosis, but she's continuing to choose Christ and all that he has to offer in the midst of that. And yeah, and just her sharing that is, she's gone through it and she has authority from God then to speak into other people's lives.
It's good. I think I've mentioned it already, but final thing on that question, it's such a good question. It's led to so many good things. He wants to see us strong. Not proud strong, like not where I can do it, but like, in these battles, we strengthen. We are strengthened. Our arms are strengthened. Our legs are strengthened. Our back is strengthened in the Spirit. As we continue to choose in him, we become stronger and stronger in the Lord. He loves that. And don't we love it too? Like, again, not in a pride-filled way, but I love, okay, so again, I our story. Certain things that Carlene and I used to say to each other, we would hurt each other, and we'd be so easily hurt. I would be, especially, I think. I struggled with it more than Carlene. Although, I think you just hit it better, maybe. But we would hurt each other, the words, you know, and we're so fragile, so weak in many ways. And sometimes now I just stop and we joke with each other. We love joking. We're teasers. I'm a bigger teaser. I understand that. And I sometimes sit back and marvel and I think, man, 10 years ago, if I had said the same thing, she would have been really hurt. Even if I didn't mean it in a hurting way, it would just, or when she would, if she would have said that to me 10 years ago, I would have been really hurt. Even though her heart was never to hurt me at all. But now it's like, it doesn't hurt because A, I see where it's coming from, and B, it's just, the Lord has built up strength. He loves us to share in his strength too. So it's really about sharing in his character as well. And my mind is going all over the place with that one because it's so good. Anyone else?
I used to think that Martha had she was a better person.
Hmm.
Maybe in this instance, yes, but because of who she was, you know. But I just read it today that Jesus says she chose, right? It wasn't that she wasn't like Mary, right? There were things for her to do as well, but she chose.
Yeah.
So it's not about if you're naturally, if it's easier for you to sit at Jesus' feet, right? It's not about that. It was about her choice.
So much comes back to choice. In fact, love me here, but it all comes back to choice. I don't care what you're dealing with. Like, I care, but no matter what it is, it boils down to choice. Because we already know that God has given us everything we need to walk out who we're called to be. So if you're not walking out, wherever I'm not walking out who I'm called to be, I'm choosing not to walk out who I'm called to be. Now, I could say, oh, but it's hard for me because I'm made this way, or I have tendencies towards that or this or that. Yeah. Some people have it harder than others. Some people have certain tendencies. You have your giants. I have mine. Sure. We all have stuff. Everyone has stuff. Happy Mother's Day. Everyone has stuff. But it comes down to choice. I was talking with someone recently where they were sharing their life, and I just said to them, you're right. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't relate to what you're sharing at all. Like, the person had been through stuff, abuse and all kinds of stuff. It's like, I can't relate. I didn't go through that. That sounds hard. Ah. Okay, now choose. Now you've got to choose. Oh, but you don't know how I was raised. No, I don't. But now you got to choose. Because what I do know is Jesus broke every chain. And he has given us everything we need to become who he created us to be. So you just got to choose. And it might be hard, and you might fall, and you get up back up. You fall, you get back up. You fall, you get back up. You fall, you get back up. And we're there for each other, and we pick each other up, and we pray for each other, and we surround each other, and we be good examples to each other. We encourage each other. We sometimes challenge each other. Sometimes we have to get in each other's faces a little bit. You know, person who, I grew up playing sports, I don't mind that. Maybe those of you who didn't, I also grew up in music, and I remember being in an orchestra. I don't remember anyone getting in my face saying, you need to drum better, Kevin. Come on, you need to spend more time practicing. No, that didn't happen. But in volleyball or basketball, you need to work harder. Come on. And they weren't saying it out of, they were saying it out of, I want you to be the best so that our team can be the best. We sometimes need to do that with each other as well, but we need to choose. I love that. Need to choose better. Oh, so good. Okay, in closing then, I want to bring it back to, but at the foundation of it all is seeking God's face, sitting at his feet. At the foundation of it all. Because if you try to change without sitting at his feet, it won't last. It just won't. Your passion and your heart has to be for him first and foremost. That first love that we read in Revelation. At the base of it all, Mary sitting at his feet. Yeah. So Lord, we bring our lives to you again. And I can't make choices for the individuals here, but I as the pastor here, I make the choice for Emmanuel Grace. Lay it on us, Lord. Speak to us. We sit at your feet just waiting for what you have to say. because we know all your ways are good and your words are beautiful. Set us free, Lord God. Set us free. Show us the path to freedom. Show us the path to health and life and love and all of that. Thank you for what you're doing in your life. Thank you for Candace's testimony, where just such a perfect example of what you want to do in our lives. And I pray that freedom over her from jealousy. I pray freedom over us all, whatever we're struggling with. But again, I know you'll walk us through it. We love you. We love you. We love you. We open up our hearts to you. We open up our lives to you. Pray this in your name. Amen.